Labors of Love. An informative look at modern-day evangelization, featuring the ministries and work of the Catholic Church in South Texas. Stay with us and learn of the Church's many services and benefits with your host, Margaret Alleria, Director of Evangelization and Catechesis for the Diocese of Corpus Christi, as she explores the Catholic faith with her many guests and their labors of love.
Welcome to Labors of Love. I'm your host, Margaret Alleria, and I'm here with my guest, Michelle Lopez, who is an adoption coordinator for Spalding for Children. How are you, Michelle?
I'm fine, thank you.
It's great to have you here. I don't believe I've had a program where we speak about adoption, so I'm looking forward to our conversation. Can you tell me a little bit about yourself?
Yes, I have a degree in psychology, and I worked for CPS for 7 years as a CPS specialist. Worked with a lot of abuse, neglect children, did removals, did trials to terminate parental rights, and placed children in adoption. And then after that, Spalding for Children came to Corpus, and I wanted to work with children to give them a second chance with the family, and so that's what I did.
Wonderful. And Spalding for Children is something special. You mentioned that it's for those who need families, so foster children. Can you tell me about Spalding for Children?
Yes, we are an agency. Spalding for Children has been in Houston since 1977. And then in 2004, they received a grant, and they spread their services down to Corpus Christi, surrounding towns, and the Valley. And so since then, we've been here. We try to recruit families, find families who are very patient and loving, who want to adopt children and give children who need a second chance at life, and a loving home, up until, you know, forever to be a forever family, for them. So that's what we try to do, find families for children who have been abused and neglected and can no longer return home, that their parental rights have been terminated.
So in other words, these children, and they might even have siblings, are abused, neglected physically, emotionally, sexually, and the state has intervened. And so now it's time to find them a family that will actually love and take care of them.
Correct, yes.
I used to work for a short-term shelter, and it was so interesting. This is either they didn't have a family to go to, or they weren't adopted yet, and so they would stay at this shelter for about 6 months. And these kids were maybe 6 years and older. And it was so interesting to hear their stories. These young people, these creations of God, are being hurt, sometimes by their own family members, mainly by their own family members. And so then they're taken away and put into this shelter with a lot of other strangers and people like myself who wanted to give them some structure. But the hope was that they would either be able to return to their family once some things were figured out, or that they would have a foster family. So I think this is a real blessing to have someone like you in this area. So then you take care of the Texas area, the Corpus Christi area. Where do you try to recruit families?
We recruit families all of pretty much most of South Texas, all the way down to Brownsville, Arlington, McAllen, Mission. I have families all the way over there, even down to Roma, Texas. But you're right. We do try to find families who are willing to adopt. We don't provide foster services here in this area. Mm-hmm. It's just strictly adoption.
Strictly adoption.
Yes.
Okay. And what are some of the qualities in the families that you're looking for?
We're looking for stable families. If you're married, you've at least been married for 2 years. You have to be at least 22 years old. You can be a single parent. You know, if you were previously divorced, you have to be divorced at least for a year. But we're really looking for stability and how you manage your own loss and grief and patience, and truly just wanting to provide a child or children with a good, loving home environment. A lot of people say they have enough love to take care for children, but because these children have been abused or neglected, it can be quite challenging. So we're looking for patience and someone who's willing to take in the long haul with these children.
So I was going to ask you, I heard you say the word patience, and What might a family expect if this child has been abused or neglected when they do come into their forever family? And the reason I ask that is in case there are listeners out there who have been considering adoption or they know of someone who's wanted to adopt.
Well, the children, you have to remember, by the time they come to the adoptive homes to you, they've probably had several placements. They've probably been tossed back and forth in foster care, back with their parents, and maybe back in foster care again, and then maybe back with their parents or with a relative, and then back in foster care, or they may have several foster placements. So children can have quite a bit of placements by the time they come to you. So when we try to prep them for adoption and say, this is going to be your forever family, sometimes they kind of look at you like, yeah, that's what they said the last time.
Sure,
they've kind of been moved around.
Mm-hmm.
So it may be difficult for them to attach to you initially. So children will act out their behaviors. They can, steal money because they might be on survival mode, hoarding food because they just, are not sure when they're going to eat again. And also, of course, oppositional behavior,
To authority.
Children will be their normal children as well. I mean, they might have long extended tantrums, but we tell families you want to be able to decipher regular, normal, healthy, typical development for that child and then see if it's compounded with their abuse and neglect. So that's something that I work with families on when they have children in their placements. But for the most part, it's not one of those things where I'm going to adopt a child and everything's going to be fine. No, there's challenges. It's just you have to earn that respect from that child. You have to earn the trust of that child because, the most important people in their lives have truly let them down. So they're trying to get to know you as well. You're trying to get to know them.
And in the meantime, they'll push your buttons. They'll act like children. They'll have emotional scars. And so there might be some emotional outbursts.
Right.
There's some difficulties. These children have been through a lot.
Right. And we help families as far as, you'll have therapeutic support. We're not going to place children with you and you're going to be left alone. Here you go. No, we have a support system. We work with families to develop their support system. You will receive therapeutic services, sometimes psychiatric services, any type of services that the child may need. We train our families that they're going to be part of a professional team because during a supervision, which is at least 6 months before they can legally finalize their adoption, we're all working together, the state, our agency, doctors, teachers, foster parents that are wonderful resources for them. We're all working together to try to achieve finalization for the families.
So then there's at least 6 months where
Right. There's
a lot of observation and just a lot of support, and that will still be maintained.
Yes. After 6 months and everything's okay and we go on to the judge and you legally adopt the child, we just don't leave you alone. Our agency has the contract for post-adopt services for this region as well. So I am done. I transfer your case to post-adoption. And if you need any more further therapeutic support or say later down the road, everything's fine, but maybe 2 or 3 years later, you need some intensive therapy or you may need hospitalizations or whatever should come up way, you can contact our agency for post-adopt services. And those services are provided to the children up until age 18.
I see. Okay. Well, it looks like Spalding for Children really cares about the whole process, first of all, in terms of finding the right family, and that's what you do, and then offering that support through the adoption and then post-adoption.
Right.
Okay, wonderful. Now, can you share with me what these children are looking for when they're looking to find that forever family, as you call them?
They're wanting parents who will love them and take care of them no matter what, to help them heal through their past trauma and to be patient. They're wanting a mom and a dad or a mom. They just want something who will protect them because, sadly, they haven't really had those in their lives. So, and sometimes it depends on the child. Sometimes they want siblings too, ready to go, or sometimes they don't. They want to be the only child or with their. So it's just the CPS worker works with the child into what will be an appropriate placement for them. So we do get some input from them. Every child's different, but for the most part, they're just wanting someone to truly commit to them. That's not going to leave them. That's not going to take them back to CPS. That's going to truly love them, care for them, and help them heal.
to provide food for them, to provide a roof over their heads, decent clothing, a room for themselves, hygiene, all of that good stuff that everyone deserves.
Yes, and also have them also be able to feel safe in the home where they can channel their anger issues and channel their fears so that they can have room for you. Because, you know, we all go through losses and we all go through trauma, and how we handle it's important. And these children have suffered significant loss in such a short time, or trauma.
And they might not have the coping skills
that
a typical child would have.
Right. So it's, you know, adoptive parents are having to be patient and having to really use support systems and resources to help them appropriately learn how to deal with anger and other emotional issues.
We're going to take a quick break. Stay with us on Labors of Love.
This is Labors of Love.
This year's 30th annual Check Fest at St. Thomas the Apostle Catholic Church on FM 624 in Robstown will begin at 9 a.m. Sunday, October 6th. A Check band will play liturgical music during the 11 o'clock Mass. You may choose from beef barbecue plates or a traditional Czech meal of sausage, sauerkraut, vegetables, and homemade kolaches. Drive-through service begins at 11 a.m. There'll be children's games, a country store, arts and crafts, games, and more snacks, and silent and live auctions. For more information, call Anna Ramos at the church office, 387-1312.
Thank you for being with us on Labors of Love. Again, I'm here with my guest, Michelle Lopez, Adoption Coordinator for Spalding for Children, and we've had just a really great conversation. As a matter of fact, I shared with you some of my experience in a short-term shelter. And you're right, what I learned from these children is that at any given moment, a child up until the age of 18 could have had 2, 3, 4 placements in 1 year in shelters, not necessarily in homes, or maybe a combination of them. And so there's not too much stability. I remember one particular story of a child who got reprimanded in the shelter because he didn't make his bed. Well, it turned out that he never had a bed to make, so didn't know how to make a bed, mm-hmm. or even what that meant. And so these children need a lot of love and care. So let's talk about the process of adoption. Maybe there are some listeners who are interested or know of some people that are interested in adopting. What's the process for adoption? I understand it's lengthy. It's not from 1 week to the next, and there's a reason for that. But go ahead and talk about that.
Well, you would first set up an orientation, and then if you're still interested, then I would provide you with an application. And the application's pretty intense. Well, it's not intense, but it's quite a bit you need to provide us. If you went to high school, we need a copy of your high school diploma or any degrees after that. If you went, birth certificate, social security cards. We do a background criminal check on everyone, and FBI fingerprinting, and also a central registry check, which is if you had any CPS
history or anything.
Yes. And then just a lot of paperwork you have to submit to us. And then we ask for references, and it's all designated in the application. So once all that is okay and complete, and we didn't get anything back,
that was concerning.
That was concerning. Of course, if we do, we would sit down and discuss it with you and see what the issue was. Then after that, then I will schedule your training. And we have lots of training. We have a PRIDE training, which is called a pre-service training. It's a 16-hour course training. Gives you some insight about the children that you will be adopting, if it's something that still you want to do, considering everything going on. And then we have behavioral management training. Then we have other trainings, water safety training. You have to do CPR.
Things
and
like
first
that.
First aid, mm-hmm. for child, infant, and adult. And then there's just other trainings, medical consent training, psychotropic medication training.
Is that for any psychological issues, that kind of medication?
To kind of give you some insight as to the different medications that some of the children may be coming. Because sadly, children in foster care have diagnoses and take medication. Mm-hmm. So not to say that, you know, when they're with you and things improve, you can wean them off eventually. So once you've done your training and your assessments there is pretty good, then I will schedule with you a home study. And that's, I really get to know my families very well.
Don't go to my house right now. I'm just kidding.
No, But I ask you lots of questions, a lot of personal questions as well, because I have to get a, you know, I'm assessing everything, because, you know, the last thing we want is to put children in a in another situation that's not going to work out. Sadly, that does happen. Has not happened in my experience with me, but it does happen.
So like the safety of the house.
Right, the safety of the house.
Okay.
You'll need to provide pictures of your home. I will go and look at your home. If there's anything that that is a concern, I will most definitely let you know, something we can fix. But we get to talk about a lot of things. And also, we talk about what type of children are you interested? How many children? Mm-hmm. What age range? And the more I know about you, the better match that I can do for you to prevent any disruptions. So
the hope is that you find the right match for the parent, future adoptive parent, and the child.
Right. Right.
Wow.
And so once, if the home study is all approved, we're done. And the home study is not just a one-day thing. You know, I will schedule with you, you know, anywhere from 2 to 5 times, depending on how we schedule and how much information there is. Then once that home study is approved, then we start the matching process. And that is when we start to see if we can match them with children. But it's not quick and fast. Mm-hmm. I believe the average wait is from matching is 10.6 months. I mean, it's a while. Sometimes it can last up to a year. I've had families who waited at least 2 years, but when we matched them, it was a great match.
It was a good fit.
Yeah, it was a good fit. And then I've had families who I matched in a month, and it was a great match. It just depends
on
the type of child. What I do want to stress is that we don't have perfect children. None of us are perfect. Mm-hmm. None of us can walk on water. Mm-hmm. So I have to be sure that they're realistic in their expectations to what type of children they're wanting to care for, because we will have some behavioral issues, and we talk about those. And also, I'll assess their comfort level and their limits regarding some behavioral issues.
Will you observe the parent with the child over?
Yes.
Okay.
Once you have been matched, mm-hmm. Then you will get an opportunity to read that child or the children's case file. And then if you still want to proceed, sadly not everything will be in the case file, but, you know, hopefully a good chunk is. Mm-hmm. And if you want to proceed, then we start pre-placement visits, which means if you're from Corpus and the children are from Houston, we will go to Houston, stay in hotel, you'll meet the children in the foster homes. So
interact with them,
have like a weekend thing. And again, it depends. The length of time of pre-placement depends on the children. Mm-hmm. And if everything's going well, then we place with you. And then from the moment we place with you, you're under supervision for 6 months, meaning I will be there at least once a month.
For support.
Mm-hmm. And what I typically do is I'm pretty much on call with my families. I have good rapport with them where they can call me anytime. You get my cell number and I'm available for you. So weekends, I mean, I'm just always on call with my family.
Well, that seems like a long process, but it's important. It's an important process.
Right.
And you have reasons to have it so lengthy.
Right.
From the beginning to end. Now, you did mention earlier, and I only have a few experiences with children that have been neglected or abused, but I used to take my youth group to St. Peter Children's Home in San Antonio so that they can read to them, minister to them. It was a great experience. And that was a shelter as well. I think it was a long-term shelter. But earlier you talked about how they might have siblings. And so mm-hmm. sometimes these parents will take in all the siblings. Sometimes they won't. So families are separated. And it was so interesting that these kids might be 3, maybe 5 years old, and then a 16-year-old, and they would try their very best to be on their best behavior so that they can sleep next to their sister in the evening. Mm-hmm. And so it's things that we take for granted, they wanted to they didn't even have the benefit of sleeping with their siblings. Mm-hmm. And so that was an incentive at the shelter. If they did well throughout the day and they behaved and everything went well, then they would be able to sleep with their sibling that evening. And it was just so great to hear that they wanted to be with their sibling. Mm-hmm. And they had the opportunity to. And so it was a great environment, and we really enjoyed those visits. Now, there are some statistics, sadly, of those children needing adoptive homes. And can you share those with us?
Yes. I believe the latest statistics are on any given day, there are at least 6,000 children who are available for adoption in the foster care system.
And is that in Texas?
Or the state of Texas.
In the state of Texas.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
So when we match adoptive families, even though you're from Corpus or this side of town, we're able to match anywhere in the state of Texas. So we're just not looking in this area. We're looking in the entire state.
So there are children that need good homes. Thousands of them.
Thousands of them, yes. Yes.
So what are some of the incentives? I know that adoption, even just in my own investigation, because I was heavily interested in adopting at one point, and I still am, but what are some of the incentives to adopt with Spalding for Children?
Well, we have no fees, so there's no fees. You don't need to have any upfront money. Also, the child, if depending on the age and if they're part of a sibling group, may qualify for subsidies, meaning you get a monthly stipend up till the child's 18, including Medicaid up to the child's 18. And also, they will have college tuition exemption of any state university in Texas.
Well, that seems like just quite a lot of support.
Mm-hmm.
And now you also have a certain age group, though. So some might want infants. You all don't have infants to offer. It's usually right. About 6 years and up or so.
Right. We try to specialize in school-age children. However, if you want a sibling group of three or four, you might get a 2 or 3-year-old, depending on the sibling group. But yes, but we focus on 6 and over children.
Now, if we have some listeners that were interested in adopting and just needed that extra push or that extra support, how would you encourage them to just get the process started?
Well, I would just have them just contact our 1-800 number at 1-800-460-6298. They can be transferred to me, and then I can set up an orientation with them, and we can go from there.
Well, Michelle, thank you so much for all the work you do. Many prayers are going your way. Now, you also have a website that you can send people to.
Yes, it's SpaldingForChildren.org.
Okay, and that's SpaulDing for Children.org.
Yes.
Thanks again for being with us
Thank
on Labors
so
of Love.
Mm-hmm.
This is Labors of Love, the ministries and evangelization of the Diocese of Corpus Christi. If you have questions or perhaps a comment about today's program, why not send us email? Address your email to labors@klux.org or by U.S. mail, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, Texas, 78407. And now, with this week's Sacred Moment, here is Deacon Stephen Nolte.
If you are a woman, you can probably identify that one pot or pan, that one cup or spoon that exactly meets your needs when you are cooking. For some, it might be the old iron skillet, the one you inherited from your mother or grandmother, the one they used to cook cornbread in the oven. Or it might be a particular wooden spoon that you use only for stirring a milk or sugar-based recipe. A man might have tools much like women have the cookware mentioned above. There are tools that fit his hands only. It might be a left-handed hammer, the one most people can't use to drive a straight nail, but he can do it every time. For those who carve or whittle, two men can have identical knives, but hold them differently when they carve. And after years of use, even the casual observer can notice how both blades are worn in different ways. And finally, while there are many different types of musical instruments, like instruments often sound very different from one another. For example, a violin and a fiddle are the same instrument, but they're tuned, played, and sound differently. Even though musicians use one basic note to tune their instruments, their hearing and personal styles of playing affect the final sound. These are things we frequently take for granted, and unless we are directly involved in their usage, we seldom give any thought to the peculiarities of each as an individual tool or instrument. Musical instruments, tools, and cookware all have one thing in common. They are made for a certain purpose. The same is true for the human person. We readily recognize that every person appears different, but we seldom give serious consideration to the question why. When He created each one of us, God had a specific, unique thought as to who and what we would be. He created us to be like Him in what we do and how we do it, and to image Him by reflecting His mode of being, even in our own being. He has a longing for each of us to be with Him, to belong to Him in a relationship of love, and He is willing to go to great lengths to make that possible. Just like our mothers and grandmothers had to break in their new iron skillets, and men have to try out new tools before using them, God prepares us for the tasks He calls us to. He shapes us by allowing us to experience different events in life. Some of those events are occasions of joy and happiness, while others bring us sorrow and tears. Yet each experience shapes us to fit into God's hands just a little bit better and allows us to become one of His favorite instruments. Unless we are one of those individuals who complain about how heavy our cross is or simply refuse to accept it. The saints are those individuals who learned how to let go of their own ego, their own desire to have things on their terms. They are the people who learned from life's lessons that God wishes to shape us and turn us into His favorite instrument for that one task to which He calls us. It is only then that we become an instrument fit for a king. May you discover God's calling for you and embrace your own instrumentality in the sacred moments He blesses you with. And may you find joy in the journey to becoming fit for a king. Amen.
Thank you for being with us on Labors of Love. I'd like to thank my guest, Michelle Lopez, Adoption Coordinator for Spalding for Children. If you would like more information, please call her at 361-850-8200 or visit spaldingforchildren.org. Thanks again for being with us on Labors of Love.
You've been listening to Labors of Love with Margaret Alleria. Online MP3s of this program are available on the CCN server. Browse to podcasts.goccn.net. Scroll down and select the Labors of Love category. Be with us next week at this same time for another edition of Labors of Love. Labors of Love is a production of the Department of Evangelization, Diocese of Corpus Christi, and CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.